Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Off and running on a now Friday morning. Welcome to Friday. Hey, it's Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan, your overnight oasis back in effect. 888-808-1019. Of course, the telephone number, you know. Lots to do tonight, plenty to talk about. And certainly, if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm still there, still plugging away at Gordon Damer. But I guess where we got to start with tonight is with the baseball and is with the Mets. Mets have been really the focus here the last 24 hours. They go out last night, lose another game to the Cubs. What else is new? Cubs a perfect, what, 7-0 against the Mets so far this season? They certainly enjoyed it, that's for sure. And look, it was not the embarrassment that it was of the doubleheader. It was not the six errors. It was not ugly every single moment of the day. But at the end of the day, it's still another loss. Six loss in a row, lose an extra innings, 4-3. So the Mets now doing the math, a season low 13 games under 500. And look, the Mets eventually are going to fade into oblivion. I've told you before now, it's never been more crystal clear. I even though the record might get worse or it might get slightly better, it doesn't really matter. Because as we hit the halfway point of the season, the Mets season is over. You know that. I know that. There's no point lying to each other. There's no point trying to dream up scenarios where things are going to change and all of a sudden become better and just trying to put a happy face on it. It's a bad team. It's clearly a bad team. In the last 162, they're what, a 91-loss team? They're on track this year to lose like 95 games. They are one of the worst teams in baseball. So at some point, they are going to fade into oblivion, and we're not going to pick them apart and pick through the wreckage, pick through the fuselage of the crash jet every single day. But why it's still important to me to kind of point out where the Mets are at right now. And maybe it might get kind of lost. Because the Mets, despite the spending, despite getting Juan Soto, the Mets are the second team in town. They are the backup team in baseball. They are not the number one team. They can't be the number one team. The Yankees and their success tells you they're the number one team. And it's going to take a long time, a lot of success to overtake that if you're a Met team. Now, there was a time in my life where this town was a Met town. But that was before the Yankees had winning teams basically for 30 years in a row and won a bunch of World Series. I realize they haven't won one lately. Maybe they'll win one this year. But right now, this is clearly a Yankee town. So at some point, the Mets are going to kind of fade into oblivion. But why it's important, I think, to point this out in real time is that for all the bad teams we have here in New York, what's different about the Mets is their failure is more egregious than other failures because they have two things going for them that you would think would allow them to avoid situations like this and just be regular bad, not like worst in the league bad. And those two things that they have going for them that any sports team wishes they had. They have an unlimited payroll. There is no budget with Steve Cohen. For all the complaints about Steve Cohen this and Steve Cohen that, the dude is losing money on this team, but yet he is spending money every single year. He is cutting the checks. He is backing up the moves that his front office wants to make. So that's the first thing. Think about the failure teams that we have in this town. They're in other sports that have salary caps. There is no salary cap in Major League Baseball. So the Mets have an unlimited payroll in a league with no salary cap, and yet they still can't put together a consistent run of anything. Like at this point now, with David Stearns being here for as long as he's been here, you would like to think, and I thought when that move was made, and it was telegraphed as well as it could be telegraphed even before it happened, hey, you get David Stearns in here, you've gone through a bunch of GMs before this, but now you got your guy, the guy's had success, the guy clearly knows what he's doing. The Mets, even if it's not right away per se, and all of a sudden they're just a championship team right out of the gate, but there is going to be now some foundation of acceptable levels of expectations where the team is not going to be losing games and being a losing team year in and year out. Or it's not going to be the type of situation where they're good one year, bad the next year. Good one year, kind of okay, bad the next year. Like, you would expect by this point, the amount of moves that have been made, the amount of time that David Stearns has been able to put his team in place and build the team that he sees fit, and the money that has been spent. Because all I've ever heard as a Yankee fan is the only reason why the Yankees have success is because of the payroll. It's the only reason. It has nothing to do with Brian Cashman. And look, we can pick apart the failures of Brian Cashman. We do it all the time. That's fine. But all I ever heard was, hey, the reason why the Yankees have success, they're able to spend money. Any team that would be able to spend money like that, they would be able to have that same success. So that's the first thing. And that's why I don't think that we can just say, you know what? The Mets are having another bad year. No need to pick on them. No need to beat the dead horse. No need to kick the animal when it's down. Let them run out the string of another only 81 more games to go. There's no point on beating them up that bad. Well, I think it is fair to beat them up because their failure, the Mets' failure, the David Stearns' failure is more egregious than any other failure in this town. No matter what, and really in all of sports, it's hard to top having at your disposal. Again, find me the other teams that have the two things the Mets have going for them. Unlimited payroll in a league where there is no salary cap. And you can't put together a team that can be halfway decent? You can't put together a team that's middle of the road? You get some guys healthy in the second half. Maybe you go on a run, you get hot, you get in the play like a couple of years ago. Now, that was acceptable for the first year because it was the first year David Stearns taking over. They were coming off a bad year the year before. But perfect example, 2 years before that, what did they win, 101 games? Two games? Well, it was like they won 100 games the year before. Then they had the bad year before Stearns got here. Then Stearns gets here. They win 89 games, get in the playoffs, and get to the NLCS. And then since that point, last year, second half, absolute collapse. And this year, as bad as it could possibly be.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
But for as much time as we poke fun or point out the failures of other teams, the Jets. The Jets. What a failure the Jets are. They don't have the ability to just go out and spend whatever they want to spend. Now, maybe they would still spend it poorly. I mean, they have not made the playoffs in 15 years. A lot of bad decisions there. But based on the rules of their league, there is a salary cap, and they can't just go out and outspend their problems. The Giants, for their problems that they've had, also same situation. They don't have as good and as cushy an existence as David Stearns has with the New York Mets. Even the Brooklyn Nets, even the afterthought, the Brooklyn Nets, who should be packing up and moving to Mexico City any day now. Not even they have the ability to just outspend their problems. An unlimited payroll. That's what the Mets have, and they still suck. They suck. They are as bad as bad can be. That is hard to fathom. That is hard to put into thought how it could be this bad. Because even the Met fans, and certainly want to hear from you at 888-808-1019, even the Met fans who spent all offseason saying this move stinks and that move stinks, and look, they've been absolutely right. Can't debate it. They've been absolutely right. Now, was their heart in the right place, or was that more that they were just ticked off about Pete? Doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, the results are the results. And the Met results stink. David Stearns has done a terrible job since taking over. Maybe not that first year. He did some good things that year. But really, since that point, he has put together two baseball teams that have been an embarrassment. Last year, a disastrous second half, including a terrible trade deadline and losing out in a playoff spot in a time where there's never been more playoff teams in Major League Baseball than there are right now. And how does he follow that up? With an even bigger embarrassment of a season. A season now that we are going to spend the last 81 games of trying to figure out ways of what the Mets can trade away and what pieces they can sell off and what they can get back, because it's not about this year anymore. It's not about this group. The lockout for Met fans probably can't get here soon enough. Let's start over. Let's start from scratch. So I was thinking about it today, trying to figure out, okay, what is the Mets' next step? And as I said last night, and I'll maintain, I don't need to hear from Steve Cohen. I don't need to hear from David Stearns. I don't need to hear from Carlos Mendoza at this point. It's not about words. It's about action. What are you going to do about it? Don't tell me what you think or what you're feeling, what you're going through, what you think might happen. I don't need to hear from you. I need to see actions. What are you going to do about it? You are one of the worst teams in baseball, and based on what you're spending the last 2 years combined, you are about as embarrassing a team in Major League Baseball right now. There's no other way around that. So what are you going to do about it? I don't need a press conference. I've seen David Stearns has press conferences all the time. I've seen Steve Cohen do this rigmarole before. Oh, he comes out there. And, he said this and he said that. Oh, really? He said this and he said that. Who cares what he says? Do something. Show me something. I'd have to think that this is a guy who is a competitive person, right? You don't acquire and make that kind of money without having a competitive streak in you. Where is that competitive streak now? I'm not saying you have to be overreactionary to every single thing in the course of a baseball season, but I'd like to think that when your team is as embarrassing as the Mets have been, now 13 games under 500, it's going to bring about some form of action. And we have not seen that so far. So I was kind of thinking, like, okay, so what do the Mets do next? They've already held off on firing the manager. Maybe that will pop up again. And it's interesting, thinking back to the beginning of the season. Now, maybe this is just two different teams at two different times. But remember, the Mets started 9-19 on the season. The Phillies started 9-19 on the season. Mets decided, you know what, we're keeping our manager. Phillies decided we're firing our manager. And their manager had been a successful manager for them. They got rid of that guy and brought in Don Mattingly. And you know what? It's worked. Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong? Was it Rob Thompson's fault that what happened? At the end of the day, it's about results. So maybe we'll get back to the conversation about the manager at some point here. I don't know. But when you're talking about the roster itself, I think that the general feeling I get before we go to the phones is that Met fans are going to be like, get everybody out of here. Get them all out of here. Get whatever you can for them. I'm sick of watching this team. I hate this team. Outside of the young kids, Ewing and Benj and McLean, everybody else, pack them up and get them the hell out of here. The only problem with that is it's almost like everybody is having bad years. Nobody is living up to what the expectation are. They're not performing as their best versions of themselves. you're not going to get a whole lot for those guys. And I do have to wonder, on a day where Major League Baseball comes out and gives you a whole other part of the proposal that they're making to the players about what's going to be in the next CBA, not just that there's going to be a salary cap, but there's not going to be any more contracts exceeding 5 years and all these different things and rules that they want to put in place. It's clear, whatever the rules are, and we don't know, I don't know if there's going to be a salary cap or not. I don't know if there's going to be baseball in 2027 or not. But whatever the next rules are for the CBA, whenever there is baseball again, it's pretty clear that Steve Cohen's major advantage is going away. The ability to just throw money at the problem is going away. They're not going to be able to continue to do that, even with an owner who doesn't mind losing money, who doesn't mind spending whatever it takes, which is a great thing to have. And that should be what Met fans probably are most disappointed in. The greatest strength that you have, you finally got an owner who's the richest owner in the sport, and you've gotten, what, 5-6 years out of him? And now that great strength that you have, if you're a Met fan, the owner spending whatever it takes, or at least trying to, that ain't going to happen anymore. But when you take a look at what the roster is and what is here and what's movable and what would get you something back, I don't know that there's a whole lot on this Mets team that is going to get you a whole lot in return. Like the first name that you would think of, Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. He's pitched like an ace prior in his career, not this year, but in his career, he's pitched more like a front of the line, maybe not an ace, but a front of the rotation kind of piece. He's not done that this year. He's going to be a free agent after this year and is looking for, at least, we're all looking for 7-8 year contracts. I'm looking for one. Fleegs is looking one. You're looking for one. Whether or not he's able to get a 7-year contract remains to be seen. But what do you think you're going to be able to get in return for Freddie Peralta? This roster is littered with guys and contracts that I think are kind of unmovable. You think you're going to be able to get anything for Marcus Semien? I don't think so. Spoiler alert, I don't think so. Anybody taking on Bo Bichette's remaining contract? I would be skeptical. Sean Manaea getting you a whole lot back in return? Probably not. So when it comes down to it, I do have, and I kind of floated this idea last night. I looked at some of the numbers today. If this Mets season continues going in the direction that it looks like it's going, a 95-loss team, it feels like what happened last offseason needs to continue to happen, right? Like you broke up the core that had not really been successful, or David Stearns decided to break up the core after it had not been successful. If you go out this year and lose 90-plus games, don't you have to... Doesn't it feel like that's the time to strip it down? And the one name that comes up to me, and I don't know what the market would be for him, would be Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor is going to be 33 next year. He's 32 now, will be 33 next year. He still has 5 years and $162 million left on his contract. Now, he's had a bad year. It's been a fluky year. He was hurt. He didn't get off to the greatest of starts, and then he got hurt. He's been gone for a long while. I would not expect that his numbers right now are going to be indicative of what his numbers are going to look like at the end of the season if he can remain healthy. But that said, it does not look like it will be a prime Francisco Lindor type year. And you have to ask yourself, if this is a 95-loss team, a 90-loss team, how far away are you from not just getting pointed in the right direction, but being a good team, being a playoff team, with the amount of moves that you're going to need to make? And it's clear you can't make all those moves in an offseason. It's very difficult, even with an unlimited budget, to go from a 90-loss team and all of a sudden turn that around in one offseason. There's just not enough available talent to sign in free agency. You're not the only team that's been willing to spend. So I do kind of wonder if you want to really take a hard look, and if you're looking at this year, as I am, as this should be a bottom line kind of year. This should be the type of year that you look at and say to yourself, you know what? This can't go on anymore. This is completely unacceptable. And it's not just enough to fire the manager. It's not just enough to say, hey, we got to get a new GM and fire David Stearns. I think you have to look internally and say, you know what? This is not the group, man. This ain't it. So if it's David Stearns that's pulling the levers, if it's somebody else that's pulling the levers, this team does not need a tweak here and there. You made, I would think, more significant tweaks this past offseason, and it's only gotten worse. You are further away from the goal of being not just a playoff team, but a perennial team, a team that's always in the mix, as the Mets absolutely should be. So when you start thinking as a Met fan of, hey, trade deadline, who are we getting rid of? Who can we get out of this team? And how quickly can we do it? I think you really have to wonder about what is the future of Francisco Lindor here. He'll be 33 next year. And don't you have to ask yourself of whether or not you've seen the best of Francisco Lindor? And he's had moments here. He finished second in the MVP one year. Outside of that first year, he's been a very good player, sometimes a great player. But this ain't working, man. And it feels like you need to make more seismic change. This is not the type of offseason where you're going to make a tweak here or there. And sometimes the best moves are the ones you make a year too early rather than a year too late. So if I were a Met fan right now, I would be saying, tear it down. And where I probably would start is trying to figure out how I can get a major return for pieces that I have right now. And I don't think that there's a piece on this roster that you could get more for in return than Francisco Lindor. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Coming up, we'll get your phone calls involved. Plus, there is a very respected baseball insider who had maybe the most ridiculous thing I've heard to say in a very long time. So I'll tell you who it is and what they said coming up. 888-808-1019, just getting started. It is Gordon Damer on a Friday morning right here on the...
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.